daydreaming about dragons. Read a post today on a Dungeon Master Facebook group where a young Dungeon Master, or maybe an old Dungeon Master, I don't know, talked about what do I do when my players get captured? How can they escape? Like they got captured because I wanted to avoid a total party kill, which is a whole other conversation. And what can I do now that they're captured? And I've seen that a lot. I've got this problem and I'm going to put my players, into this conflict and I don't know how to solve it. And I consistently come back with, don't solve it. That's not your job to solve it. It's their job to solve it. They will, and have confidence that they will solve it. Just have confidence. They'll get out. They will figure it out. They will be looking for things. And you won't create an opportunity, but you will maybe display an opportunity. What you don't have to do is in your prep, think of an opportunity. That's not your job. That's not your job at all. Your job is to present the world, right? And it's cool. Don't forget that time in your game doesn't have to go by one for one second with time in the real world. You can say the sentence to your friends. 10 years goes by and you're locked in this tower. How does that change your character? What do you ask for? Who do you write letters to? And what you'll want to do, as with any kind of weird, traumatic situation that you put a character through, right? Because we want to test these heroes, but we also don't want to test the people. So you check in with them. You make sure that none of these people have been incarcerated. None of your friends have been through an incarceration, and their character, their elf being locked up in a tower, is suddenly traumatizing to them because they feel like, oh, well, this fantasy I was in, where I get to travel around with my friends, is suddenly just a repetition of trauma. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be, an incarceration from the state. Maybe they were in a situation where they couldn't leave home because of abuse. Maybe they were in a situation where they couldn't leave their bed because of a sickness. So just make sure when you're imprisoning your friends' characters that you're not messing up your actual friends. Let's not traumatize our friends. Let's check in with them. And it's totally cool to say, all right, we 10 years go by. It's also cool to find out that, hey, this is traumatizing for me and say, all right, you're on the run. You're in the city. And the Duke is hunting for you, right? We can alter things because we don't want to mess up our friend's day. Easy, easy peasy. It's not bad. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not going easy on our friends. We're not here to prove anything to each other. Just check in. Make sure everything's all right. Being a good gamer and a good GM and a good player is very much being a good friend. The way that they line up is almost 100%. It's the Venn diagram is almost entirely a circle. So check in with your friends. Make sure you're not traumatizing them if you do something where you lock up their character. They might have had a relative who was locked up. They might have been locked up any number of ways themselves. Check in with them, make sure. And I think the interesting thing about this is time, right? Time is interesting. Let's talk about time a little bit. Time is something that we don't mess with enough. I know that there is a flashback mechanic in Blades in the Dark, but you do not have to wait for a flashback mechanic to flashback. And it's a really cool tool. It's a great tool. to just get an idea of who the character is. And it doesn't even have to be a real flashback. It could be a dream about a place the character grew up. It can be any number of things. So we can go backwards in time, right? That's fun. And just get an idea of who this character is and who they were. And you don't have to, those amazing days where, and I've had a lot of game situations like this recently, where a player shows up and everybody else is just running late. Maybe everybody else is 15 minutes, a half hour late. What a great opportunity to say, let's talk about your character. Let's play through a little solo thing from your past. Yeah, I know your character's not going to die, but we're just fleshing out where they came from. Let's play it. What a fun idea. What a way to use that time to its best. It's awesome stuff. So flashing back is fun. And flashing forward, I think there are games, particularly games with like immortals and vampires and whatnot, where that technique is used a little more. But it's a good one. Just flash forward. What's your character working on? Cool. How long? I think that might take 2 years. 2 years goes by. Think about how your world's going to change. And the neat thing about that, the neat thing about 2 years going by, the neat thing about your world changing is your players get to repeat journeys that they took in the past. And it's just a little different. It's just different enough to be exciting. You can repeat prep and repeat places and you get to see what effect they've had on the world. You can see the ripples in the pond. You can see how things have changed. Play with that a little bit. It's really exciting. It is really exciting. I saw it a bunch. I mean, where I really saw this a bunch was in a Burning Wheel game I ran with some friends, Drew and Rachel. And it was just amazing to see the setting change over time and see them bring new characters walking the path of where their old characters walked and seeing how different it was. Very different, right? The first time they walked up that hill, a giant spider attacked them because they were out in the middle of the wilds. The next time they walked up that hill, there were other pilgrims walking with them because there was an inn at the top of the hill. So interesting. It just changes everything. You get to see the whole world with fresh eyes. So don't be afraid to flash forward, especially when you're playing with nigh immortal characters. I mean, that's a fun campaign idea, right? Let's play a standard fantasy game with near immortal characters. And we're going to go through, with these near immortal characters, we're going to go through the stages of humanity. We're going to start, in Neolithic, and you're going to watch these people figuring out fire. And then we're going to end up in some kind of high Tolkien fantasy nonsense. And how cool does it say, well, let's flash forward for 30 years, 40 years, 50, 100, 200. The humans just invented muskets. Elven citadels are falling left and right. What do you do? What do you do? You just go west? Do you fade? Shall all love you in despair? What do you do? I think that's fun. I think so that is a thing that I think we run into when we talk about capturing a player character. Don't capture your players. Capture their characters. When you capture their characters, you can play with time. And you can really change things. Maybe time goes by, maybe eventually someone bails them out. Maybe there's a hostage trade. Maybe the war ends and they just get freed. Who knows? Who knows what it is? The other caution against having a solution is that it might calcify your mind against solutions that you didn't think of. I'm not saying don't daydream about your game. Far from it. Read the title of the show, right? I want you to daydream. I urge you to daydream.
I would love to daydream with you. But don't calcify. Don't get stiff. Stay mobile. Stay flexible. Stay ready for your players to surprise you. And be in a stance where you take delight in that surprise. Right? If you find yourself saying, oh, you got me. Yeah, I should have thought of that. No. Your feet are in the wrong place. Your hips are too high. You are in the wrong stance, right? When players use something in the setting that you helped create to solve a problem, that shows that they're listening. It shows that they're invested. It shows that they're interested in this game as it's happening. That's a great sign. That's the best sign. That might be the finest sign of a healthy game. Players using something that you put out there in a way that you didn't expect. That's good, good stuff. So use that and take joy in it. And you don't have to solve problems when you're doing prep. Just present problems. And I'm not saying put them in, you know, a trap with no escape. But I'm saying you can have traps and you don't have to know how to get through it. You don't have to know. It's the player's job to know. It's the player's job to figure it out. And they have a lot of tools. If the game is good, they'll have a lot of tools. And if they don't have the right tools, maybe they come back and try again another time. Maybe this just isn't the time to solve that problem. So don't feel like you have to solve problems in your prep. In your prep, you have to create problems. And giggle with joy at the imagination it's going to inspire in your friends. That's the good stuff. Cool. Let's see what Inspiration Goat has for us today, shall we? IG, what's up? We are going to talk about True Detective again. And forgive me, we've talked about True Detective a lot. This might be the third or fourth time we've talked about it. We're going to talk about it for the new angle. And so if you haven't seen it, don't worry about it. We're going to link Inspiration Goat's choice to gaming very quickly. So I'm going to give you the scenario. The scenario is this. True Detective came out. The first season was huge. It was huge. Everyone loved it. Everyone loved it. Many people loved it. It is very popular. And the HBO came out with a second season, all different characters, you know, seems to take place in a similar world, but a whole different case, a whole different vibe. I'm not going to talk about the third season just now, but I want to talk about the second season and how it relates to gaming. And the second season is often seen as a disappointment. And I think it might be okay. That's here nor there. Doesn't matter. Here is how this instance relates to our gaming. There will come a time in your life, if you're lucky and you do this gaming enough, where you will hit what I call a grand slam, right? You will have a game that goes beyond the pieces that are all together at the table. You will create something bigger than the people all around you, and everyone will feel it. And you'll know it when it happens. It's not just a home run. It's not just, wow, I really DM'd the heck out of that game. It's that we all helped each other be better and more creative than we usually are. And we made something truly fantastic that I'm going to remember for the rest of my days. We made something really rocking. And it's real special. It happens, and it is when the GMing technique and the player technique and the game at the table and the chemistry between the people and the love between the people and the place where you're GMing and the place where everyone is in their lives all comes together to make something really special. And when you do that, and in our meta, in our like parallel metaphor here, that is True Detective first season, right? It just became this phenomenon. And you'll have games like that where it just, the chemistry is just there and everything fires and it seems like no one can make a wrong decision in the world. And it, you just go home and you're like, what just hit me? This is incredible. It's pretty dang cool. I'm always happy after I get out of a game, but it's not always that same vibe. It's not always a grand slam. And that's cool. You don't swing for grand slams. You swing to hit and do your best. I'm sorry for the baseball metaphors. Forgive me. But you can't just try to, you know, create something bigger than you. You have to just do your best with the techniques you've got and then see what happens. And sometimes it'll transcend. And that's wonderful. It'll do it. You'll see. Keep at it. And when that happens, what I want you to watch out for, celebrate that situation, talk about that situation, tell everyone about the game, think about what happened, think about what you did that was right, think about what could have gone wrong, think about what everyone else did that was right, write it down, write notes, think about it, but don't chase it. Okay? Don't chase that feeling. Just go back and play. It might be that like that feeling comes at the end of a campaign and there was this beautiful moment. And there is when there's a good ending like that, you want to just not end it and just keep playing. And I'm saying don't play something different. Try something totally different. Don't chase it. Don't chase the beauty. Don't chase the art. Just let the art happen. Let the beauty happen. And I think that's what the second season of True Detective, that was the problem, is that everybody wanted this Macaulay Culkin. It's not Macaulay Culkin. McConaughey moment Macaulay Culkin, oh my goodness, where a character is just really interesting and captures everybody's imagination. And you don't have to do that. Don't try to do the same type of game again. Try something different. Take a break. Maybe switch GMs, switch genres. Just do something really different. And if the game still persists and you want to come back to it, for goodness sake, come back to it. But don't chase it. Just let it be. Let it be. Let it be its own thing. Let that moment be beautiful on its own rather than trying to like throw more on top of it. Okay? Does that make sense? There was a really cool metaphor, and I forget who said it. It might have been my friend Jim Del Rosso. It might have been someone on RPG.net. And it came up in one of these conversations that everybody always says is are our RPGs art? Is what we do art? And I think the pothole that people step in or drive their mental cars in when these conversations come up is they think of art as this highfalutin thing in a museum. And if RPGs are art, and I'm quoting someone, and I don't know exactly who, if RPGs are art, it's not something beautiful in a museum. It's a bunch of people in a garage playing punk rock for each other and enjoying each other's contributions and smiling when they miss a note and just enjoying it. Enjoying the reverb, enjoying the bad sound, enjoying all of it. And so if you hit a great note don't feel like you've got to just get right back on the guitar and play another great song. Okay? Does that make sense? Cool. Let's get to the outro. Thank you so much for listening to Daydreaming About Dragons. I would like to thank everybody who's been supporting the show with replies on Twitter, with that's a fantastic way to support the show, and I appreciate it, with money, with reviews. It's been fantastic. We're up to 23 reviews on iTunes. I'd love to get up to 50. If you could leave a review, that would be amazing. Write a little something, let people know what they get into when they hit play on a Daydreaming About Dragons episode. That would be splendid. If you would like to, there are other ways. You can look in the show notes. I've got a Threadless shop. All of that money goes to charity, but it's a cool thing if you want some Inspiration Goat merch. You can hire me to GM a game. I've got my link to my Start Playing profile. So if you want to see where all this technique goes at the table, hire me and I'll schedule it with you and we'll get a game going. So let me know. We can definitely make that happen. And thank you so much for listening. This has been recorded on October 1st. So I hope your spooky season is off to a good start. And I will talk to you before the month is over. Certainly, I'll talk to you very soon. All right. Bye-bye.